Do nail trims terrify you? They don't need to. We're going to talk all about that today on the McCann Dogs podcast. Have you ever had challenges with nail trims?
I have not had challenges with nail trims up until I was just telling you about this morning, Honda. So I've had many, many, many dogs of different breeds, and they've all been great about getting their nails trimmed because I've done all the background work to build up to it. However, Honda has had a bad experience with his toenails. A couple of years ago, he slipped on our stairs and fell down them and managed to break a toe and also have his nail pulled out of the nail bed.
Oh, geez.
Poor and
guy.
It was dangling by a little thread, and there was blood everywhere. And I knew I couldn't leave that nail dangling. So I reached in and I pulled it off. Honda squealed. There was more blood. The toe ended up being broken. So now Honda...
Broken from the fall. Not
yes, from the fall. Yeah, yeah from okay, the fall.
Just to clarify that.
And, Honda would have been 12 at that point. So he was already an older dog. And now he is very nervous about getting his toenails. And I can understand why. And he's a softer dog to begin with. So I've had to do a lot of work in building his confidence back up.
I bet.
And just going back to what I would do with an 8-week-old puppy. To get him back in the swing of it.
Yeah. So my very first dog, Quincy Rottweiler, you know, big, thick black nails, right? So you really needed to like put enough pressure on there to get through the nail. You needed to have really sharp scissors, et cetera. And initially, of course, I didn't know enough. So she got into the habit of doing this jerking thing with her paw. Mm-hmm. So I was constantly stressed. Every time I did her toenails, I would be so worried that I was going to get halfway through the clip and then she was going to jerk it and it was going to cause her pain and discomfort. And, you know, I lived with that for a while because I didn't really know that there was a solution to it. And then, of course, as I continued learning about dogs, this was my first dog and my first experience with all of these things. So as I continued learning, I thought, oh, you know what? I can go back to my conditioning work. I can solve this problem.
Right.
But even as I solved the problem, and I did for the most part, it still would rear its ugly head every once in a while because this was well rehearsed for her for the first half of her life. And then I thought, oh, then I learned better, right? Oh, you know what? I can maybe work through this and I can do better things. So she had already rehearsed it quite a bit. So it ended up being a habit that she would return to every once in a while. Anytime there was a little bit more stress, for example, or anything like that, she would revert to that jerking away. Right. So that was, I don't want to say traumatizing for me because that seems like a little bit too dramatic of a description, but it is one of those things that stayed with me.
Right, yes.
So when I think about trimming nails and I think about starting with a new puppy, I'm always working on overriding that little bit of anxiety that starts in my gut with my intellect and knowing that now I have this puppy and I'm going to do just as much work as I've done with all of my other puppies after Quincy the Rottweiler to make sure that I didn't have to live through that same situation.
Right.
So it is definitely something that can be a challenge because there's the multifaceted challenge, right? The dog doesn't necessarily love it. They can be worried about it. The handler is learning how to condition things and how to address, but they might be early in their dog training career, sort of like I was. So you make lots of mistakes and then, of course, those mistakes compound and you get really, really anxious about it. And of course, anytime we ever come across the idea of hurting our dogs, making them bleed, anything like that. I mean, that's just like such a horrible feeling, right? So we're really anxious about that and about causing them pain and causing them distress, which means that a lot of the times we avoid, right? So a lot of people that come in for help with conditioning things have avoided that particular thing for a long time. So like you did with Honda, going right back to that 8-week mark and starting right from scratch again, like that's the process I kind of want to talk about today because I think it is such an important thing to work on with our puppies.
Right. But and
I think
we should maybe tell people why is it important to have nails, like good.
To have nails. That are not licorice.
To have short, nails on our dog.
Yeah, please do. That's a really important point.
It's very important to your dog's foot health and their joint health overall, that their paws sit in the proper position.
Yes.
If on the floor and when they walk. If the nails get too long, now their toes start to curl. Their feet aren't sitting properly. And it can lead to painful feet, you know, arthritis, yes. you know, different things are affected. The dog's gait is affected. So we want our dogs to be able to walk properly mm-hmm. and to, you know, to have short nails. So that's why we need to trim them.
Yeah, foot health is so important. Mm-hmm. And to sort of put this in perspective, if you think about our own foot health, you know, if we have heel pain or plantar fasciitis or any sort of, you know, joints, whatever, that mm-hmm. goes through your whole body.
It does,
a lot of the times foot pain can be the biggest cause of back pain, right? Et cetera. Like all of these things are interconnected. Mm-hmm. And it's the same with our dogs.
Right.
And it can actually alter their structure over time as well.
Yes, definitely.
So yeah, very important that we spend a lot of time. And how often do you do Honda's nails?
In a perfect world, I would trim them every week. Mm-hmm. It's probably more 2 weeks. Okay. You know, life gets in the way or I forget. But in a perfect world, I would do them weekly. Yeah. I would trim them and just take a tiny bit off every week. That way I don't have to take off any big chunks.
Yeah, I agree completely. Mm-hmm. And actually I've gone through, to preface this, if you have dogs that have long nails, then you can cut up to what's called the quick, which is the blood vessel in the nail. And as you reach that quick, it will start to recede. So the more often you cut your dog's toenails, the shorter you can actually get them over mm-hmm. time. So with some dogs that I have wanted to get their nails shorter mm-hmm. over time, I've actually gone to a schedule of cutting twice in a week.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So just so that you shave those little bits off, the quick gets exposed, like just the end of the quick. You're not actually mm-hmm. cutting through the quick, but you're exposing it. And then that causes it to recede a little bit. And over time, you can actually make the nails shorter and shorter. If you have a dog that, you know, maybe you have a dog that you brought into your home as a rescue, for mm-hmm. example, and they haven't had good foot health and good foot care, then you can help that quick to recede over time by doing the nails more frequently.
Right, yes. And there's no rule that you have to do all four paws on one night too.
I thought I read that rule. No seriously, rule. You are 100% right.
So I might say, you know what? I'm going to trim one paw tonight. That's it. I'm just going to trim one paw, you know, four little clip, clip, clips, and maybe the dew claw. Mm-hmm. And then that's it for that night.
Yeah.
And then the next night, okay, I'll do four more.
Perfect.
So you don't have to have a big, long, drawn out toenail clipping session. Mm-hmm. You can just keep it short and sweet. That way there's less stress on you and less stress on the dog.
Yeah. Let's talk about this process a little bit, because when I have a puppy in the house now, and this is again from the reaction from Quincy, the Rottweiler, my first dog, and wanting to make sure that I do right by the remaining dogs in my mm-hmm. life. I actually do nail work with my puppies every single day without fail. Mm-hmm. And that's not to say I cut toenails every single day. So let's get into this process of how we teach our puppies, because this is something that we break down. We definitely don't just bring our puppies home and then start trimming toenails right away. We go through a process of breaking down the entire thing, mm-hmm. right? I want to go from, you know, that top tier of trimming toenails, and I want to backtrack on that to all of the steps that will come before it mm-hmm. to make sure that I can build comfort with my dog. And any sort of real conditioning program that we do with our dogs, and especially any sort of counter conditioning program. And counter conditioning you would need to do if your dog already had a bad experience, mm-hmm. for example. So Quincy, with her jerking away, mm-hmm. me doing counter conditioning work with her, it's sort of like watching paint dry. You really shouldn't see a whole lot of anything happening. Basically, what we're looking to do is we're looking to keep the dog within that comfort realm so that we can associate good things with that comfort mm-hmm. and then just push the envelope ever so slightly. Right. So for example, if I was working with Quincy with her nails and trying to counter condition, I might just be holding her paw. You know, I might not even be putting any pressure on the nail initially, mm-hmm. and I might choose to say yes and then reward that step of things. Mm-hmm. So if I'm conditioning with a young puppy, I want to make sure that I'm going just as slowly. The last thing that I want is to overwhelm my puppy, mm-hmm. right? So when my puppy first comes home, I'm doing work touching their paws, mm-hmm. you know? I'm doing positive association work with this. positive.
Positive. Oh, I get the pun. applause, applause.
All right. So what sort of thing, when you bring a puppy home, what sort of thing are you doing with them first and foremost as your first step in handling paws and starting the process of getting them used to this thing? What's your very first go-to?
Well, I'm going to start just gently touching their toes. So it's part of the kind of the patting process. Perfect. Like I'm patting you, I'm patting your leg, I'm working down to your feet. So the puppy learns that, hey, humans touch your feet. That's absolutely normal for a human to touch the feet.
Absolutely.
I'm also going to have toenail clippers, and I'm going to get my puppy used to seeing them. Mm-hmm. So they're not some big, strange apparatus that comes out. You know, when you go into the vet and the dentist, and suddenly they start pulling out the drill and all these things. It's like, what are those things? What are they being used for?
Oh my gosh, they're terrifying. Right? You know what? My brain just flashed to another Simpsons reference where Dr. Hibbert is doing he does the sweat thing to get the novelty gags to fall off of Bart's face.
Yes, yes.
And he's got the button applicator, but it's got all these needles and it looks barbaric.
Right. Right.
There you go.
I want my dog to not be startled ever at grooming equipment.
Exactly.
So the toenail trimmers, maybe I'll put them down on the ground while the puppy eats.
Mm-hmm.
They might lay beside the crate while the puppy's sleeping. So they get used to the smell of them, what they look like. I might, open them, close them so they hear the little noise that they make. So, they're getting used to me touching their toes. Mm-hmm. That's normal. Humans touch your toes. And they're getting used to seeing these things in my hand, and they mean nothing to them at the beginning.
Yeah, absolutely. So I will, I'll do a ton of conditioning with it, making sure that, I do nail work pretty much every single day when I have a puppy in the house. So I will take a portion of their meals and use that specifically for my nail work.
Right.
So like you, I start in the same way. I start with just handling feet. As I'm handling, I'm going to say yes, and then I'm going to reward my puppy. Mm-hmm. And the reason that I do that is because I actually want to take it that one step further.
Right.
And I want my puppies not only to tolerate, but I want them to enjoy the process. And that's an odd thing to think about, because I'm sure most of us are thinking like nail trims are not enjoyable for our dogs, but they can be.
Right.
You know,
for sure. Yes.
Why can't they be?
Right. Yeah. And they're the center of attention.
Yeah.
They're getting fussed over. They're getting treats.
Yeah, exactly. I actually recently changed to a Dremel tool from a nail trimming tool. Mm-hmm. And I will tell you, like, the conditioning period with that was no problem at all. And my dogs are over the moon happy with it. Like they're just so chill. I think it takes a lot less pressure to go to grind down the nail than it does to actually cut through.
Mm-hmm.
And I wish I had not been so stubborn about it for all the years that I have been, because there's a smell to it that I had a hard time getting over.
Right.
And I've found other people that agree that it smells like burning hair.
Oh.
So I'm not alone in that, but a lot.
Well, it's. I think the nails are made of keratin, and that's what hair's made out of.
Yeah. So there you
Makes
go.
Sense.
See, super logical.
Yes.
Super. All the people that looked at me strangely when I said it smells like burning hair, I can't really get over that. There you go.
Right. Yes.
But yeah. So
with equipment too, buy quality equipment.
Yes. Oh,
Don't cheap out and buy the cheapy toenail clippers, because they're not going to be strong enough.
No.
They're not going to be sharp enough. You want to have good quality equipment. It's going to last you, and it's going to make the job easier. So, there's some stuff you can skimp on, but dog clipping toenails, do not skimp.
Yeah, absolutely. And actually, we have done some organizing with all of that, because people are always asking us, what style of clipper should I use? Should I use scissors? Should I use guillotine? Those are the two main styles of clippers. Mm-hmm. And there's benefits to both, but you definitely want a sharp clipper in either one. Absolutely 100% important.
Yes.
And then there's also, you can get into Dremel tools. So
yes.
We have a guide. I'm going to put the link in the show notes below. If you go to mccanndogs.link/nailguide, you are going to be able to access that guide. And the guide itself talks about the benefits of the guillotine and the drawbacks of the guillotine, the benefits of the scissors and the drawbacks of the scissors, and on and on. And it talks about Dremels, and it talks about introducing those things as well. There's a little bit of a conditioning program with it that comes along with it. So if you're new to nail trimming and nail care and you don't really know what direction you want to head in yet, I think that'll be really, really valuable. So check the link in the show notes below and grab yourself that guide. It's free. and we want you to be able to help your dog with those things. So
yes. And even if you're at the vet, get them to kind of point out, you know, where you could clip to.
Yes.
The vet will be able to show you where the end of the...
Actually, that's something that's included in the guide as well, is a diagram of where the anatomy of the nail.
Perfect.
Let's actually talk about the anatomy of the nail for a second. So we mentioned already the quick.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
What happens if you cut into the quick?
If you cut into the quick, it's a blood vessel.
Dun.
And it will bleed. Now, it won't squirt blood, but it will, you know, drops of blood will start to come out of it. It's kind of like if we cut too low on our nail, there's that little bit of a sting, but we don't want to make a big deal of it.
Yes.
So if that happens, and it's inevitable, sometimes it's going to happen, you know, the last thing you want to do is like, oh no, and, you know, hug your dog and coddle them, because they're going to say, oh, you know, they're worried about something. I better be worried too. You know, instead you're going to be calm and confident, like, oh no, let's do something about this. And, you know, I might grab a paper towel and hold it on. You can also buy crushed styptic pencil.
Yep.
I think it's called Quick Stop, or you could use cornstarch, and you're going to put something on it to stop the bleeding. I've always just used a paper towel. I find that. Yeah,
cold compress, like a cold, wet paper towel. Yeah,
the bleeding, yes. Yeah. And I'm going to be very like, hey, that was fun, wasn't it? And, you know, I'm going to play with the dog a little bit and jolly them up.
Yeah.
So I'm going to appear very confident, and it's not a big deal. You're going to survive this.
Yeah,
so
absolutely.
The dog builds from that confidence too.
Yeah. And that really, to me, that really sort of feeds into good leadership, mm-hmm. right? The last thing we want to do is go to pieces because we feel horrible, right? Like, and in that moment, like, yeah, it's going to make me feel better to say to my dog, I am so sorry. That was awful. It was unintentional. Like, that's going to make me feel better, but it's not what's good for the dog.
No, because imagine if you're at the dentist and all of a sudden the dentist goes, oh no, I'm so sorry. You're going to be like, what?
Oh,
like,
exactly. Oh my gosh. Can you imagine?
During an operation, all of a sudden,
I am so, so sorry.
Yeah.
That's probably not a good thing.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Truly, what is best for the dog in that moment is to just try to help them forget about it. Try to not focus on the thing. Don't make a bigger deal out of it.
Right.
Because truly, that little bit of a sting, most dogs don't even really feel. They might do a little yipe to begin with, but really the bigger reaction is our reaction.
Yes.
And we make them feed into those things. So,
right. Because you figure dogs get little ouchies often.
Yeah.
Like I've seen Honda step on those little prickle bushes in the grass and, you know, I hear a little yipe and then he jumps about 10 feet in the air, but then it's over and done with. He walks on. So, you know, they're going to get these little oopsies in life. And, you know, it's a lot of it is how we react as to what their reaction is.
Yeah.
It's like little kids when they fall down.
Yeah.
You know, often if we're like, oh my goodness, what happened to you?
That was me.
You know, while we're
every
assessing.
Day.
Yeah.
Every day as a kid.
Right. So but, clumsy. You know, the parent that, you know, makes a huge deal over it, you know, that child's, you know, going to struggle with that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And they're going to carry that with them.
Right.
So even if you need to, you know, in that moment, if you're an emotional person, which I can completely appreciate because I am an emotional person, I'll tell you, dog training has helped me get my emotions under control and figure those out. Luckily, I started dog training very young in my life and it's carried me through into adulthood, so it's given me all sorts of skills. But if you are an emotional reactor and in that moment you know that you're not going to do anything productive and you're just going to start crying because you feel so horrible about it, pass your puppy off to someone else, walk out of the room, have your meltdown. It's okay. Mm-hmm. It's okay. Sometimes we need to do that. Right. We need to sit with our emotion and then brush it off. Go back.
Right. Yes.
Deal with the dog.
Normally we just nick it.
Yeah.
Now there are exceptions. If you ever look at a guillotine pair of clippers, they can be held backwards and they actually move backwards.
Yeah.
And then you could get right into the main part of the nail. That would bleed much more.
Yeah,
so if you've decided to use a guillotine, make sure you do, you know, you are looking at them and noticing how they move.
Yes.
So you don't take off way too much nail.
Yes. A good rule of thumb, if you have a guillotine style of clippers, the non-moving edge should be the one in your palm, because then the guillotine is going to go straight upwards versus putting the moving edge in your palm. Now, as you move your hand, the head of the guillotine itself
goes
moves.
Backwards.
So you want the non-moving edge in your palm. The part with the hinge should be with your fingers. So
another little safety on the scissor types that you buy, some of them have a little safety latch that you can pop down so the nail can't go too far through.
Mm-hmm.
But don't use that ever as your gauge because they don't know how long your dog's toenails are. Like there's a huge difference between a Chihuahua toenail and a Great Dane toenail. Yes. So don't rely on that as a safety.
No, never. Definitely not.
Yeah,
definitely
I just very pull arbitrary. It out of the way. Yes.
Yeah, me too.
And I'm left-handed and I find I have to use them in my right hand, the scissors, nail trimmers. Okay. I should probably look to see if there is left-handed ones.
There probably are.
Yeah, because anyone left-handed out there knows that it's impossible to cut paper with the scissors in your left hand. And it's funny, you put them in the right and it starts clipping. Same with nail trimmers. I find them very difficult to use in my left.
That is so funny.
It is weird.
I'm right-handed. I can't do anything with my left hand.
Right-handed people.
I really don't understand the perils of the lefty.
Right, yes. So I'll either hold them upside down or I'll put them in my other hand. So it's... and other tips. I have good tips.
Awesome.
As I've gotten older, for some reason, my eyesight isn't that great up close anymore.
I have a good story about that. I
don't know what it is. So I have bought like the cheap reader cheater glasses. And also I discovered my son used to do outdoor adventure running and it was like orienteering and they did it often at night. And so they'd be pitch black in these forests with their compass trying to find different points. And so they'd wear these big headlamps or they'd have toques with lamps in them. If you put one of those, it makes this great big bright light. If you put on your cheater glasses, it magnifies the nails.
Oh, that's
awesome.
It
makes your toenail cutting so much easier. So bright light and cheater glasses go a long way.
Yes.
And I'm so brilliant. Young. I'm only 25. I have all these problems.
I know. What is going on?
It's
going
to happen when I'm 56. Who knows?
Here's a funny story. So I actually went to the eye doctor because I was starting to notice a lot of the like floaties in your eyes. So I wanted to check that out and just make sure everything was normal, which it turns out that it is. Mm-hmm. It's just part of life. Mm-hmm. Anyways, so we were talking and she was talking about my close-up vision and I said to her, I'm starting to notice when I trim toenails that my close-up vision is failing. The look that she gave me and I was like, what? And then I realized I'm not with my people. I'm with a random person who may or may not have a dog. And I burst out laughing and I said, I meant dog toenails, but I just kind of forgot that I wasn't with my regular people right now. Like if I had said that to you, I wouldn't even
think about human toenails.
Exactly. But the look I got and the silence in the room, I was like, what did I just say? That was so weird. Oh, I get it.
That's funny.
Oh my goodness. So was funny. I had a good laugh at
You've never cut my toenails, so I would have right away known it was dog toenails.
Get my foot like pretty close to my face. I'm quite flexible in that direction.
So you need licorice toenails then.
My sister and I used to constantly as kids, this is probably way too much information, but we used to joke about biting our own toenails off when we would do it.
Yeah,
as kids. That's
funny.
I have not done that in my adult state, but. You know, it's not out of the realm of possibility.
No, especially when we get the licorice ones in our genetics.
Oh, if my human toenails grow as licorice, that's a good way to make sure that I always have a snack.
I think we're veering maybe into some gross territory.
This is
now.
Very bizarre. Yes. Very, very bizarre. Yes. A big part of our Puppy Essentials online and in-person program is about handling, introducing grooming tools, and helping to ensure that your puppy is comfortable with the process. If you would like some personalized feedback and advice to help you through these tricky situations with grooming, join us in person or online for Puppy Essentials.
One fallacy about toenails is, just take them for a walk. The cement will wear them down.
You know what? That is a really, really good thing to talk about. Let's talk about that because it's not outside of the realm of truth to an extent, but there are definitely some things that you need to consider.
Right.
So,
and like I'm an avid walker and I walk with my dogs on city streets and I still have to trim my dog's toenails.
But the problem is that you carry your dogs and you walk.
Oh,
no, I'm just kidding. So, some dogs will have softer nails and some dogs will, as they're walking on cement or pavement, get some grinding going with those nails. However, it is very, very limited.
Right. And my dogs pick up their feet when they walk. They don't scuff their feet along to grind their nails. And
And if you think about the paw itself, it's built to help carry the dog. So mm-hmm. it's not this solid thing that every single nail touches the concrete at the same pressure right. every single time that foot goes down. And there's this like pressure going on there. It is at best going to be spotty. So you might find that those two middle toenails get ground down a little bit, or the back feet sometimes get a little mm-hmm. bit more ground down. But for the overwhelming majority of dogs, you're still going to have to trim yes. some toenails.
Yes.
And I think it's really important to note the dew claw factor.
Oh, yes.
Dew claw.
Yeah.
I don't know why I decided to sing that.
It was a good,
it
yeah.
sounded fun.
It did.
So the dew claw is what? Tell us what the dew claw is.
The dew claw is an extra toenail, so you get extra clipping fun that is up on the wrist of the dog. So if you move the fur on your dog's wrist, there often is a little dew claw there. They used to often be removed. So mm-hmm. the breeder would often remove them at birth, but there's been a trend away from that. So yeah. you don't see that anymore. The odd breeder still does, I'm sure. But yeah, it gives you a fifth toe of fun on yeah. each of the front feet.
Absolutely. Some breeds will have double dew claws.
Yes, yeah, some have double. Yeah. Some have them on the back leg.
Mm-hmm.
But if that toenail doesn't touch anything, it will never get worn down, and it will grow in a curl and actually puncture into the pad behind it. So yes. that nail has to be trimmed.
Yeah, very dangerous to ignore that. Very mm-hmm. painful for the dog as yes. well when it grows all the way around. So right. make sure, if you're not sure, just feel down the inside of your dog's legs, front and back. Make mm-hmm. sure that you know whether or not they have dew claws. Ask your vet if you
yep.
need or a groomer.
Check for you.
Yeah, yeah, they'll be able to give you that information.
Yeah, or check when you purchase your puppy. Ask the breeder, are their dew claws removed?
Yes.
Yes.
So a good tip if you are in the process of conditioning nail trimming and you need to get your dog's nails trimmed, but they're not necessarily ready to get to that nail trim point, a good sort of, a good tip at that point is to make sure that they're not having a bad association with it.
Right.
So I would, if I was in that position, rather than just trying to, okay, you know what, I need to get their nails trimmed, so I'm going to just get it done, I would actually go into my vet clinic and I would have the vet techs take care of that, because mm-hmm. they have all the tricks,
yes.
right? They know all the tricks to distract mm. the puppy while they're doing toenails. And if something does go a little bit awry where your puppy goes, oh, I'm not sure I like this, mm-hmm. at least it's not being associated with you and your nail work, and you right. can continue the conditioning mm. process and help them over that a little bit easier. Right. So again, the conditioning process being first touching paws, then sort of putting pressure, mm-hmm. separating out the toes. Then what's the next step that you do with your grooming tools? So we talked about having that nail trimmer and mm-hmm. putting it down on the ground so the puppy right. can think about all their senses, right?
Right.
We want them to experience this mm-hmm. thing with all their senses, so there's nothing alarming about it. So they can see it and they're comfortable with it. They can smell it mm-hmm. and they're comfortable with it. They can hear it right. as you make that mm-hmm. noise and they're comfortable with it. All of these steps, it would be good to say yes mm-hmm. as that's happening, and then reward your puppy with right. something tasty or with a portion of their
right.
meal
yeah.
so that they start to create a nice positive association. Mm. And the reason that we want them to love it during mm-hmm. the good times is because when it comes down to those bad times, you know, when this the toe got broken
right.
and the toenail was painful, et cetera, yep. we want to make sure our dogs will at least tolerate the handling.
Yes.
So I just went through a recent experience with Ned. With his prostate exploding, we actually did a podcast episode mm-hmm. about it. So if anybody wants to check that mm-hmm. out, you can certainly do that. Something about a medical emergency, and it would be about mid-November?
Maybe
early December.
Early December when it probably got published, yes.
Yeah, so,
yes.
so have a look at that.
Mm-hmm. Knowing when it's something, you know, knowing how to react in an emergency.
Exactly,
like
yeah,
yes.
exactly.
Yes.
So in that scenario, I mean, Ned is incredibly well-versed in handling. There's nothing that I can't do with him. I have all sorts of tricks so mm-hmm. that I can, you know, roll him over on his back, for right. example. So when he was a young dog and I went and got his hips done at the vet, I was able to mm-hmm. use that to roll him on his back in the crate. And then they were able to do hip scores without having mm-hmm. to without having to put him under anesthetic.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in that situation, he was cool, calm, confident. There was no real stress for mm-hmm. him because he's a pretty social guy. He was happy to be at the vet and mm-hmm. everything was good. But with this recent situation, there was a ton of stress because he was in pain.
Mm-hmm.
So trying to help him and trying to provide the vet with an opportunity to be able to examine him, I mm-hmm. wanted to do his rollover trick, which is sort of people call it shooting the dog. I don't shoot the dog. I call it cockroach, but everybody seems to think that's weird. So just to explain, the cockroach would be him on his back with his legs up in the air.
Like he was a cockroach that just been sprayed with a can of Raid.
I don't even know why I went to cockroach, but honestly, the more I think about it, the more I'm like, I should really rename that trick. It's not a good name for it. But at any rate, so normally I would say cockroach and he would flop on his back and his legs are splayed and he's confident as all get out. In that scenario, he was stressed, he was uncomfortable, he was worried, and he gave me cockroach, but he gave me cockroach with his back legs were like tight and tucked in, and like he was able to do it, but you could tell there was so much tension in his body. Right. So that tension normally would override the ability to do these things in a dog that had less information about trust and about being willing to be handled, et cetera. And a lot of that is really... it's good leadership, right? Yes. So if we need to trim our dog's toenails and we just go, you know what, dog, you're going to do it. And we grab them and we pin them somehow, or we have someone else hold them and we trim. What does that say to the dog about us as leaders?
That we're not to be trusted.
Exactly.
Yeah. If you let them catch you, something bad might happen.
Yeah.
And I remember when I was a teenager, I worked at a German Shepherd kennel. And I remember the back then we did things a lot differently. And I remember we had hooks that we'd hook dogs up to against the cabinet that would basically put them immobile, and we'd muzzle them and we'd trim their toenails. And it was just a horrific experience. Yeah. I didn't like doing it. I felt bad. And you could see the dogs were terrified. And that's just what was accepted back then. So times have really changed. Dog training has come so far.
It really, really has.
Yes.
And good leadership means that our dogs can trust us. That's huge. Right. And leadership truly is about your dog's feelings of safety when it comes to you. You know, most dogs would much rather just chill out and enjoy life and not have to worry about keeping everyone, including themselves, safe, about feeding everyone, about making sure that everyone is well cared for, et cetera. Most dogs just want to enjoy life.
Yes.
But if there's nobody in the leadership position, they're going to step up. And that often ends in disaster because...
they're not good leaders for us.
Well, no, they're not. I know. Ned wants me to go in the pond every day. Doesn't matter how cold it is. He wants me to go in the pond.
Honda would have me only eat Christmas cookies all the time.
Isn't that what you do anyway?
Shh, don't tell anyone. I'm blaming it on Honda.
Truly, that leadership thing is so important. And dogs are governed by very different rules in their natural instinct than what we're trying to teach them. So us keeping them safe and us convincing them that we are trustworthy and that they can have confidence in the things that we're doing are so paramount to leadership. Yes. And simply getting the job done is not going to feed into that leadership. Well, it's going to make you untrustworthy. And that is not a good situation for you to be in when it comes to building relationship and building trust and loyalty with your dog. Right. So.
And just one thing too, that you may not want to ever clip your dog's toenails, and it might be for varying reasons. My parents are in their 80s and they don't clip their dog's toenails, just getting down on the ground, and just with their age, it's just been tough for them. But they did do all the groundwork with handling the nails and touching the toes, and they still
this
do
is
it.
So important
to get the dog used to that nails and and toes being touched. So when they do take the dog to the vet or the groomer, for the groomer to do it, it's so much easier for the groomer. So even if you say, no, I'm too squeamish, I'm never going to clip a toenail, still do the groundwork because you're helping the person and your dog who's going to do it.
Yeah, you are completely off the hook. If it makes you so anxious that you can't do it, that is okay. You do not have to clip your dog's toenails yourself, but they still need to go through the process. And I love what you're saying. You need to do the work regardless because the dog is going to need to go through that for their life. And if you're having to sedate or muzzle or every time you need to trim toenails, that's going to shorten both of your lives.
Yes.
You know, that's just not... that's just not good. Mm-mm. It's so stressful for everyone and everything involved. So do the groundwork, do the conditioning, help them understand that you are, that this is not a scary process.
Right.
You know, and think about which tools you're going to use. You might experiment with different tools and see what you're more comfortable with, see what your dogs are more comfortable with. Really, really good tip for practicing with nail trimmers is to use dried spaghetti. the long spaghetti mm-hmm. pieces, because you can practice closing, clipping, you can get accustomed to mm-hmm. the spaghetti
yes.
itself.
Yes.
You can do things like move it close to your pop right. and get them used to the idea that this noise right. is not anything to worry about. Mm-hmm. You know, every time I trim a piece of spaghetti, a piece of cookie falls in my dog's mouth.
Right.
That's a pretty good
right.
thing,
yes.
right? That's a
yes.
good conditioning measure. Mm. So you can get them used to all of those things and help them understand that this is not a scary thing with just a little bit of practice mm. ahead of time. So
right.
I'm looking at our toolbox. I think there's some questions.
I think there's some questions.
Yeah.
Get one, Shannon. Get one.
I think our production team had some questions ready for us. So.
That looks like a long one.
Oh, no, it's just cut well.
Oh.
Oh, actually, we already talked about this. So we walk our dog 4 miles a day and only have to trim a bit once a month. Rear feet never have to cut. The cement wears them down. But yeah, we do that stuff anyway, so it would be okay with handling. So yeah, I mean, there's going to be some work still.
Right.
And I personally have never noticed. I mean, I don't know that I spend as much time walking on city sidewalks as maybe your average person. I tend to get off road and in the bush mm-hmm. and on the trails and whatnot a little bit more. Cause that's
well, you've been
I
banned
really
from the
like.
City. You it's know, they're true. After you.
It's true. I can't show my face. There's wanted posters everywhere.
In the post office, there's many pictures of Shannon. Yeah.
I never go into the post office and then I never get arrested. It's right? good stuff.
That's good. Yes.
Would
yes.
you like to take okay. a question? I think there's two left in there.
Okay. Drum roll, Shannon. Bing.
What was the bing?
It was just for dramatic effect.
That was a drum.
Bing. Yes.
That was a drum sound.
I wonder how long you think this would take for a dog that is already afraid. Adult rescue.
Okay. So I always want to say with the how long questions, we get this a lot. Mm. And I truly wish that I could give you a formula and say, you know what? You do this for 2 weeks, life's going to be great. But that is not how things work.
No.
Every dog is going to give you a different timeline. And basically what you want to do when you're counter conditioning anything, and that would be a situation that would take counter conditioning, right? The dog
yep.
already has a negative association mm-hmm. with it. We need to eradicate that negative association and also build a positive association. Mm-hmm. So what we're doing with this is we're making extremely small incremental movements towards our end goal. So my end goal here is trimming the toenail. Mm-hmm. That's not my starting point. My starting point is, here's the trimmers. I'm going to put them on the table mm-hmm. and I'm going to feed you your meal. Or
yes.
I might, you know, put them on the table and here's a hunk of cheese.
Right.
Because that's your favorite treat and good things happen. And mm-hmm. now I'm going to take those trimmers and I'm going to put them away.
Right.
And then I might walk back up to where those trimmers are, take them down, feed another hunk of cheese, put them back up. So mm-hmm. that's my starting point. And it's so easy and it's so simple. And there's no point for the dog where they say that's overwhelming,
right?
And if they do say that's overwhelming, you know, some dogs might be sensitive enough to say just the appearance of those clippers mm-hmm. is really, really scary for me. So I'm going to break it down even further for that dog. Mm-hmm. And basically what I'm going to do is I'm not moving on to the next step until I have complete comfort in that first step.
Yes.
It's not about checking off boxes. Mm-hmm. I did this 3 times. Now I move on and do this 3 times. Now I move on and do this 3 times. It's not about that at all. It is about reading the dog in that moment. And is the dog ready for the next step?
Right.
And if you have trouble with knowing what to look for, if you're not sure about the body language, if you're not sure how to assess their comfort, then you need the help of a professional to be able to help you read the dog in the moment and mm-hmm. say, yeah, now we can move on to the next step.
Right.
Or nope, we're not ready for that yet. I want mm-hmm. you to work on this for another 2 days and then show me what you're doing. This is what we do in with our online training clients
yes.
all the time. We spend a ton of time saying, okay, you're going to do this for a couple of days and then send me a video and I want to see how the dog is mm-hmm. reacting. And then we reassess at that point. We
right.
never give blanket, you know, mm-hmm. here's your full step program.
Right.
Have at it, because that's not how dogs work
no.
either. And if we overwhelm them, we're actually shooting ourselves in the foot. We're making it harder for them in the long run, and it's really not going to serve us mm-hmm. well. So
right.
Oh, I thought you had something to say there.
No, I was just agreeing. No, I was just agreeing.
Well,
it was just
good.
A natural breath. It was to prevent me from expiring.
Yeah. Well, this has been a fun episode
yes,
to talk about.
Yes.
I think that...
Shannon, let me see your nails. How are they?
Oh, yeah. They're.
Isn't it funny? Mine too are, yeah.
Manicure city over here.
Oh,
yeah.
Beautiful.
No.
All the talk we do about our dog's nails, and then it's like, oh, that's just, yeah.
I think I bite mine off every
I
once in a while.
Sometimes.
Usually when
yeah.
I'm driving.
Right. Me too, yeah.
Now you all know.
Now you all know.
Beats picking my nose, though. Yes. I don't usually pick my nose while I'm driving. No, so that's a good thing.
Right. Well, that's, yeah. You need your full attention. Hands on the wheel, Shannon. Hands on the wheel.
Nail biting only.
All right.
Well, again, I want to draw attention to mccanndogs.link/nail guide because that is really going to help a lot of you out if you're uncertain about this process and how to approach it. Mm-hmm. It is a fabulous guide to get you started, a really good overview of all sorts of different things. So check that out and hopefully it helps with your nail trims. And aside from that,
happy nail trimming.
Yeah, happy nail trimming, everybody. I'm Instructor Shannon.
Instructor Swanee.
Happy training.
Bye-bye.
The McCann Dogs Podcast is brought to you by McCann Professional Dog Trainers. We help dog owners to have a well-behaved, four-legged family member. Please give us a call at 905-659-1888 or visit us at mccanndogs.com. Happy training!